السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. In the first program, I was mentioning to you that we must try and be quiet, don't engage in discussions. So we must remember that in our deen, for a person to become like a hermit, he doesn't talk at all, and he doesn't associate with people at all. This is not something that is maqsood, is not something that is objective of our deen. In our deen, a person must mix, a person, he will engage in his family activities, whatever. He'd be a normal human being living amongst people. However, this is done at times as a medication. That when we start talking, and we're talking so much, and this talking is putting us into ghaflat. This talking is bringing a lot of problems. We're getting involved in ghibat, we're getting involved in lies, we're getting involved in exaggerations, we're getting involved in futile talks, we're hurting people's feelings. So many wrongs taking place with the tongue. So then we are told that, see, be quiet. Keep quiet. Now think that Allah Ta'ala is recording every word of mine. Allah Ta'ala is listening to every word of mine. Now a person becomes conscious, so now when he will speak, now he will not engage in futile. When he will speak, now he will speak good things. When he will speak, he will watch how he is saying something. Don't expect your wife to do that. Their job is to just give it as it is. The wife says, sometimes they just tell you off. Sometimes you can't even understand what you're getting shouting for to. But that's okay. That's their department. But we must be such that we must watch every word of ours. Is what I'm going to talk now, is it necessary? Is it unnecessary? The manner in which I'm going to say this, is it going to hurt somebody? Is it going to turn somebody away from Allah's deen? Sometimes we don't think, many a times it happens, that a person sometimes, he is getting drawn close. You know, maybe a person went to the ijtima, or a person went for some program or something. Now normally he doesn't go ijtima. Normally he doesn't go to the ijtima, maybe he's not really involved in the work of tabligh, etc. But now he came to the ijtima, and now you see him there. Hey, what happened? You lost your way? Or you may pass some remark like that. Now, that person already, when he came there, he's already so conscious of himself. You're not conscious of yourself because you're there every time. But he now is feeling strange. He's conscious of himself, you know, or looking at me. And, you know, especially, we think we're so important, everybody is looking at us. So, everybody is looking at me, what they'll say, what they'll think. And now when the person is in that vulnerable kind of condition, now you go and tell him something like that. Sometimes you just turn the person away. So we must think that this, what I'm going to say, is going to hurt somebody? Is going to mend somebody? Is it necessary for me to say? Not necessary for me to say? Just yesterday, there was one issue happening in some family. So somebody, in the heat of the moment now, somebody made a comment. Somebody made some negative comment about another family member. Now, if you heard that, do you need to go and tell that person? What is the need to go and tell that person? Now you heard it, this person may have just said it, heat of the moment, everybody is excited or worried or whatever. So the person just made one statement, you heard that statement. You heard your brother-in-law saying something, or you heard your whatever, father-in-law saying something, or whatever. Now what is the need for you to take that and go and tell it to that brother-in-law or that son or whatever? By you doing that, are you going to be creating fitna or not? That person said it, he said it, he may not even be meaning it. In that moment, the person just said it. But now we must go and tell what is the need for that. So when we learn to talk less, then slowly we will think. We will think before we just blurt out. We'll think before we just say. So this pabandi is made sometime as a medication. Not that it is a maqsood. No, a mu'min is a person, he has to make amar bil ma'ruf, nahi anil munkar, he has to give advice, he has to speak with his wife, he has to be cheerful with his children, sometimes he has to conduct his business. So many things he has to do. He has to use his mouth, he has to use his tongue, he will have to speak. And it is not the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we become like a recluse and just, you know, sometime that too is a problem. You know, when we don't understand things correctly, Allah Ta'ala forgive us. But one person, he was, you know, involved in tasawwuf, etc., but not guided, you know, not guided by the Shariat. So, he came to visit Hazrat Jimana Masullah Rahmatullah Ali, and as they are sitting there, the time for Salah came. So Azan went. So Hazrat Ji Rahmatullah Ali and them, they got ready now to go away for Salah. So when they return, you see this person, he is still sitting there. In other words, he didn't go for Namaz with Jamaat, whether he read his Salah there, Wallahu Alam, but he didn't go for Salah with Jamaat to the Masjid. So Hazrat Ji asked him, so he is saying that I was experiencing such a kayfiyat, I was experiencing, so I didn't want to lose out on that moment. Now this is dhoka, deception from shaitan, right? The right thing to do at that time was to go for Salah with Jamaat, not sit there and enjoy kayfiyat. There can't be anything greater than the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So shaitan sometimes, he deceives us. Deceives us into thinking that certain thing we're doing is very noble, certain thing we're doing is very great. But in actual fact, that is something that is incorrect, it is something that is wrong. So, the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was to associate with everybody, be with everybody, but don't get involved in haram, don't cause people taklif, don't get involved in futile things, etc. Right? The other thing that has come in vogue, today's zamana, I was telling you earlier about the cell phone, how much of destruction it is causing. The cell phone, lot of destruction it is causing. Girls from good homes, they are getting involved, all because of they got access to a cell phone. Sometimes we think that we got our children at home, but as long as they got access to a cell phone, they are not at home. They got access to a cell phone, they are everywhere, they are in the whole world. Today, even people that are doing drugs, they are doing, becomes so easy for them with their cell phone. The people that are involved in this rehab things and all that, they say the worst thing you can do for a person who is just coming out of rehab is give him a cell phone. Money, cell phone, car. That you're giving him a loaded gun. So this photography is one of the things on the cell phone that today we just click away, just take pictures and pictures. Shaitan, he knows this thing is prohibited. Something is haram for us as believers to take pictures of animate objects, etc. So you look at his technology, from where to where he came with this photography. First a person needed to make a picture, and the person had to now draw something, paint something, you know, or make a, what you call this, portrait, make, sculpt something or whatever. Now that was not everybody's expertise, you know. Very few people could do it. After that, then he came out with the camera, much later on came out with the camera. But then also that camera was a big story now. You had to go to the studio, you must have certain color background, then they got one big light there, they got one big thing there. Then they take out one photo, big noise that thing make, the light flash. And then now they must still develop that photo and cost so much of money for that one photo. Then after that, even a little bit more, he made a normal camera with the flash and the film. So now you have to take out, you can take out maybe 20 pictures, 30 pictures, depending on the size of your camera, and then you must take it now for, they had one word for it, can't remember, develop, take it to develop or something. So now you must give it there, and then they will make your photos for you, then each photo now, so depending what size, now you must have one album to keep all that thing. So one side the lady needed one shelf for her Indian delights and Chinese delights and Japanese delights, and then now you needed one another place now to keep all this wedding album and this photos and that photos. And all costed a lot of money. Allah maaf kare, the old people, they didn't know the masail. They took all these photos and everything. But when the ulama came and the ulama educated them, then how many of them, although those photos had a lot of sentimental value to them and all that, but they took all those albums and they burnt it. How happy Allah Ta'ala must have become. They took all the things, they didn't worry how much it costed, how much work went into it, what memories are there, whatever. They took all those albums, everything, they burnt it. Then Shaitan got more technology, he went more instant. Instant. You buy a camera now, you take a picture, you don't have to even take it for developing and all that. You just take the picture, same time the photo will come out. Like a photocopy machine, but miniature one, will come out, color. Photo will come out. But that too now, you have to buy those papers that went in there, it costed a lot of money. And now look at the situation. Small children also got one in their pocket. And instant, you take the photo, it's in the album already, it's in your gallery, you can put this file, this photo album, that. You go on for this holiday, right, you make a whole lot of photographs for that. You go for that, you make a whole lot of photographs for this. How easy he makes the guna. So easy he makes the guna. Yet it is a kabira guna, a major guna. And how many of us, kurta, dhari, jamati, khankai, molvi, whatever, but we are involved in this thing. Just because we got that camera, we are involved in this thing. We are taking out photos left, right and center. Something that is totally forbidden, totally haram. And we are just taking out photos one way. So we must make tawbah from this, and whatever photos we got, we must delete it. Delete it. And people send us photos, we must tell them that, "Bhai, I don't want these things. Don't send me these things. It's haram, this thing." And you mustn't feel shy to say it is haram. It is haram, it's forbidden. There's no two ways about it. You just say it is haram, khalas. So, see, when we don't listen, I know Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali used to say that there is so much of wisdom, so much of hikmat in whatever Allah Ta'ala prohibited. Right? Now, a person sometime in his young days, he has got certain weaknesses, right? Maybe, you know, he didn't have a proper beard on his face, or he was dressing up in a funny way, or he was doing some foolish things in his young days, right? And people have taken photographs of that. Now later on, he changes his life, he joins the Jamaat, or he goes and joins some sheikh or something, and he changes his life. And now he's like a respectable person in the community. His children don't know all that dark past of his. His grandchildren don't know all that dark past of his. But now all those photographs start surfacing. Where is his izzat now? Where is his respect left? So Allah Ta'ala is making our hifazat. And we ourselves, we are throwing away that hifazat. So there was one lady, I'm telling you now, recent incident. There are two lessons to take from this. There may be other lessons, but two lessons we'll discuss. This lady, maybe she had noble intentions, but broke the law of Allah Ta'ala, right? So what she's feeling the people very sorry in certain country, refugees and all of that. So she want to go and assist, go and help them. So she goes there, but no mahram, but she is going there now to do charitable work and help them. Now, everything she's doing, she's taking photographs. Whatever calm she's doing there, she's taking photographs. And then taking the photographs, putting on Facebook, putting on Instagram, this is what we did. And now, probably, she didn't have a guidance, right? So now, what was the type of things she's doing? So now, bichari, now these ladies, they are refugees, all. Let's take them for a ship cruise. Take them on a ship cruise. So, you know, these ladies now, bichara, they're battling, you know, they're refugees. No, take them for a swim. Take the swimming pool now. Take them to the beach. Let them have an outing. Let them swim. Because our thinking has become like this. That we think our happiness and our solution is in these guna activities that the kuffar have spewed out to us. I remember some time ago when there was problems in Gujarat. There was riots, lot of killing, and people were burnt alive. Girls and were raped in front of their families, in front of their fathers and brothers, and they were forced to watch. So, at that time, in the aftermath of that whole riots, Gujarat riots, so some group from here had gone, from South Africa, they went now to go and help, go and assist. And there were some ulama also. So I remember one of the alims when he came back, he mentioned, he said, you know, our people are sitting in the refugee camps. We are giving azan, telling them, come, let's go and read salah. They just went through what they went through. No, they're busy with their tani game. They carry on playing their cards. I saw this myself in Bangladesh. So much of problem happened. So on the one side you will get those. In those refugee camps, they established Hibs classes, they established Kitab classes, they are establishing musallas, they are reading, they are learning, they are turning to Allah Ta'ala. And on the other hand, big soccer matches are taking place. Azan is going one side, soccer is carrying on one side. Short pants, running around. So what we went through, but are we thinking? Are we thinking? So this is one part of the problem, is that we sometimes we are sitting back and we are thinking now why the help of Allah Ta'ala is not coming, and why this is not happening, and why that is not happening. But what is our actions? What is our action? Just there, you take Egypt. This side is the coast that is bordering Gaza, right? So much of heartache, hurt, pain. And we will sit here and we will talk about this Muslim leaders. They are traitors. And where is all these people? Why they are not doing anything and whatever. Just this side, in Egypt, you will get holiday destinations. 5-star holiday destinations. Go and see who is there. Go and see who is there. Who is frolicking there and enjoying themselves in those holiday destinations. 5-star holiday destinations. Just this side is all the problem, the genocide and whatever we're talking is happening just on this side. Just go this side and see what's happening on this side. And go see who is there. So this is what I am saying, that we as an ummah, where is our thinking? Where is our thinking? Where is our mind? Right? Where is this relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Just to follow the news, just to follow this, follow that. It's all very easy to do. But to really turn to Allah Ta'ala, make these real changes in our lives. So that lady, she thinks she's doing something noble now, maybe in her ignorance, whatever. Now she's taking these ladies, dining them and taking them on ship cruise and sums and everything, she's making pictures. Now, don't know what fallout she had with whoever she was working with. So what they did is they charged her. And they accused her that she is human trafficking. She's human trafficking. She's running a brothel and she is human trafficking. And what evidence they gave? All the same pictures. So, you know, see how she's making this woman dress. She's putting them in the pool with shameless clothing and taking pictures of them. She put them in the ship cruise, all shameless how they're dressing. She's sending all these pictures there because she's running a brothel and she's busy involved in human trafficking. Now all that same pictures, what she thought she's showing her donors, you know. See what a great job I'm doing over here. Now that same photography landed her in problems now. So this photography, we must make tawbah from it. Make tawbah from it, get rid of it, whatever we got, delete it, throw it away. Why do we need it? Is there not sufficient evidence against us in our namai amal? We still want to gather more evidence against us. More evidence we gathering against ourselves. Why do we want that? So make tawbah, delete these things, throw these things away. The other thing of Hazrat Abdul Haq Magda Sahib, Dhamad Barakatwo, 2 weeks back, he was discussing the Hadith Sharif of the three signs of a hypocrite. So there are different ahadith. One Hadith Sharif, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned أربعٌ من كن فيه كان منافقا خالصا. Or كما قال, there are four traits. If it is found in a person, then that person is a true and true hypocrite. Right? So that is one Hadith Sharif. But then there is a Hadith Sharif that there are three qualities of a hypocrite. Ayatul Munafiqi Salasa, that there are three qualities, three traits of a hypocrite, a munafiq. So the first one, that when he speaks, he tells lies. Iza haddatha kadhaba, he speaks lies. The second one, wa iza wa'ada akhlafa. When he promises, then he goes against his promise. He doesn't keep to his promise. And the third one, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, وَإِذَا تُمِنَ خَانَ, that when he is entrusted with something, then he makes khiyanat. He makes khiyanat dari. He misappropriates, abuses, misuses the trust. So, if you take these three signs of a hypocrite, and on the other hand, if you look at how Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is described, the descriptions of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, so many, many beautiful descriptions are given, but one description, الصادق الوعد الأمين. The Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he is true to his promise. He is truthful, he's always speak the truth. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam never ever spoke a lie. Always spoke the truth. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam always kept his promise. And Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is Al-Ameen. He is a trustworthy. So the hypocrite is the direct opposite, total opposite to Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So if we are the lovers of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the ummatis of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then where should we be? Which side should we be? Should we be falling in the ambit of this Hadith Sharif, which is describing the traits of a munafiq, or should we be in those praiseworthy qualities that are used to praise Huzur-e Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? So obviously, we need to be following in the seerah of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, right? So sometime we may think, but I don't tell lies. I don't speak lies. I always keep to my promise. And I don't make khiyanat. Right? I don't make khiyanat. So, Hazrat Muhammadul Haq Magda Sahib, he mentioned the sea. When you got married, so you were asked if you accept this lady as your wife, right? So the person is agreed, so he accepts her as wife. So now, when he has done that, so he has entered into a contract now. Right? He's made Allah Ta'ala his witness, and he has entered into a contract now. So he has made certain promises now. When he enters into that nikah, he has made certain promises. Right? And after he has done that, so this woman is now entrusted to him. She is now his wife. She is entrusted to him. Now, ask ourselves that in this relationship with my wife, how many times I spoke lies? We're not talking about those lies when she didn't put enough salt and you told her it's very tasty. That one, that's a permissible lies. That one we don't want to talk. The permissible lies that we don't want to talk. We're talking about lies that we've spoken. Right? How many times that promise with the wife, what is our duty as a husband, how many times we faltered on that? And that woman who is entrusted to us, so have we created a dini mahol for her? Have we taken care of that amanat? Is it, in this marriage of ours, is it just our nafs? Is it just our nafs? Long as she is looking pretty for me, I'm happy. No. There's more to it. Her akhirat is at stake. She is now in your hand. A man who brings up daughters, is mentioned in the Hadith Sharif, a person who brings up daughters, and he gives them the proper ta'aleem, the proper tarbiyat, everything, right? And then he brings her to that age where she is manageable, and she gets her married, he gets her married into a good home, right? So now, that man, there is rewards for him. Allah Ta'ala has stipulated certain virtues and rewards for him. So does it mean that it ends there? When he hands her over, the father hands her over, he's done all this work for 18 years, 20 years, whatever time it may have been, he did all this work, making her tarbiyat, giving her the ta'anim, everything, and then he brought her to that age now where she's 18, 19, 20, whatever, and he got her married now. So does it mean, now he got all this virtue for doing that. So does it mean now that when she goes to that husband's home, now everything must go in reverse gear? The father made sure every morning he woke the child up for Fajr namaz. She may have even been a tahajjud guzar in her father's house. And what we made her in our house. And even if she was not that in her father's house, when she came into our house, did we help her to come right? Did we help her to come right? Then Allah Ta'ala blessed us with children. What did we do with those children? Those children are an amanat, right? So what did we do with that amanat? Did we fulfill that amanat? I ask you, fathers that are sitting here, you got baligh sons. Did you sit with your son and check if your son knows dua-e kunut? Did you sit one day with your son and sit down and say, but you know what? You left madrasa now, grade 7, then you went high school and all that. Do you remember your dua-e kunut? You know your dua-e kunut. Did we check with our son? If that son, he doesn't know the kunut, then what witr is he reading? What namaz is he reading? So much concern we got. What he's going to become, how he's going to get married, how he's going to earn money, how he's going to do this, how he's going to do that. Sometimes the child is not born to. The father already took out one, what they call it? Policy. He took out one education policy. He goes, no, if I'm not around to, I know his education is taken care of. Which education? Which education? Did you check his dua-e kunut? If he's sleeping through Fajr, are we waking him up? Or is just chalte ka naam gari? We just carry on. Then the child grows up, it's time for him to get married. So time for him to get married, did we teach him about marriage? When he comes in the shop, when he comes in the business, then there the father can show his chest. By, you is my shop, this, eh? You do things how I want it. Don't come here with your ideas. You do things how I want it. There he knows how to show his authority and everything. So the son must learn the ropes and he must learn how to do things how the father wants it. Now the child is getting married. So did we educate the child on marriage? That you are getting married now. You know how to look after a wife. By today, it's very, very important when our children are getting married, you must send them to someone to go and learn the do's and don'ts of the bedroom also. Because today, their access to filth is starting from a very young age. And they consider filth to be normal. They consider filth to be normal. Things that are abnormal, disgusting, and filthy to them is normal. Because that's what they're watching from the time they're small, because your contract expired and you took your phone and put it in his hand. And we want to sit on our YouTube and TikTok and don't know who and who, so we need that Wi-Fi unlimited in the house. So he's from that age he's watching. Now when he gets married, time to get married, then we're looking for a girl from good home. Then we're looking for a girl from a good home. But his exposure to what is intimacy is exposure to filth. And then we want to get a girl from a good home. This is causing so much of problems today. So much of problems this is causing today. So did we send the child to somebody? Then go and learn. Right? What is marriage about? What are the responsibilities? What are the duties? Go and learn. What are the do's? What are the don'ts? This is all our zimedari. This is all our responsibility. Our daughters, we are marrying them off. Are we explaining to them? Your husband is the amir in the house. You have to listen to your husband. No. We are just want to have a grand wedding, send them off and finish. We are not educating them. So this is all our duty, our responsibility. If we're not fulfilling this, we are making khiyanat. We are making khiyanat in all this responsibility. And sometime I sad to say that those of us that are involved in works of deen, we are most guilty. Because we feel we are very busy. I'm running for this program, that program, that program. I'm gone out here. I'm a morana. I'm sorting out everybody's marital problem and everybody's business problem and everybody's every problem. But all the problem in my own house, I'm not sorting out. I got no time to address the situation in my own house. Whereas Allah Ta'ala is telling us in the Quran Sharif that Qu anfusakum wa ahdikum nara. Your family is your responsibility. So this is very, very important. Very, very important that this amanat that we have taken, the time we get married, is an amanat, it's a responsibility. How our children are dressing, how our wives are dressing, how they are conducting themselves, where they are going, what they are doing, all this is our responsibility. If we are not checking on these things, then we are making khiyanat. We are making khiyanat. The other thing is this ghussa, you know, anger. This anger is come due to pride. Due to pride, anger comes about. And this anger sometimes is so bad that a person is even hitting his wife. A man wants to hit his wife and then he wants to take benefit from her too. How is that possible? The person hits his wife and then he wants to take benefit from her too. So this is totally, totally wrong. This anger we have to control. Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned la taghdab. Don't get angry. Yes, there are times when you have to get angry for the sake of deen. That is different. You get angry for the sake of deen, that is different. That anger is a very measured anger. You will not commit zulam in that anger. Because it's for Allah's sake. So you will only show it to the extent that it is necessary. Not more than that. And to diffuse it is very quick because it's not for our nafs. So to put it off to is very, very quick. But anger, when it is uncontrolled, it is due to the nafs. And that anger sometimes, where it can go? Where it can go? Sometimes close family. Now the family is broken now. Family is broken. Sometimes brother and sister are not talking. Sometimes father and son is not talking. Neighbors sometimes they are not talking. And all because of what? What makes us get angry is pride. As a human being can slip up. You can slip up. The best of person can slip up. But it mustn't be our tabiat. Mustn't be our temperament. That all the time we are getting angry, we are just blowing our top, blowing a fuse, shouting, swearing, fighting. This thing, sometime a person can end up doing something, regret his whole life. End up doing something, he regrets his whole life. In anger, Imam Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali used to say, the people come, say, no, Maulana, no, gave three talaqs, man. Gave three divorce now, the any way we can reconcile. Say, no, can't reconcile. Say, no, but give in anger. Give it in anger. So, Maulana used to ask them, say, who give in happiness? So, who gives in happiness? So, you give in anger, who gives in happiness? So, what happens, you see, when a person gets angry, then the mind gets clouded. Because shaitan takes over. Right? Shaitan flows in the veins. Shaitan is very close to a person when a person is angry. It's very close. So it's like the person is like possessed by the devil when he gets angry. So now his focus becomes that person who is angry with. He forgets that Allah Ta'ala is in charge. Now whatever happened, Allah made it happen. Whether it is a health issue, whether it's a wealth issue, whether it's a political issue, whatever it may be, right? All the halat came about, Allah Ta'ala made the halat come about. Now, you're getting angry at that individual, and you're taking that anger to such a level now, that sometime you can hit, sometime if that person is weaker than you, you can cause some hurt, harm. Sometimes you want to harm yourself. This is more common amongst the women. They know, I'll cut my wrist. So cut your wrist and what? Cut your wrist and then what? What problem is it going to solve? You're going to cut your wrist. What problem is going to solve? By cutting the wrist, are we going to avoid the sawal in the qabr? Will we not have to answer the angels in the qabr if we slash our wrist? If we shoot ourselves? If whatever person hangs himself, whatever the person does, commits suicide. So is he going to avoid then the questions in the grave? Is he going to avoid the day of Qiyamah? Is he going to avoid the mizan? Is he going to avoid the sirat? What is he going to avoid if he does that? He's not avoiding nothing. He still has to go through that whole process. So this is what we are talking about. This ghaflat, you see ghaflat. Jis jahame rahu, jis fiza me rahu, mera taqwa hamesha salamat rahe. I mustn't fall into ghaflat. At any moment, it can be whatever. Whatever. The temptation can be in whatever form. Whether it's a $1 million deal, that's coming at a time when business is quiet, right? Whether it's Miss World coming when wife is gone for 1 hour, whether it is, you know, that fellow who's irritating you all the time and now you got him where you want him, whatever it may be, whatever it may be, I must not go into ghaflat. Because at the end of the day, I'm answerable to Allah Ta'ala. Nobody is coming with me in my qabr. Nobody is coming with me. And nobody is going to stand for me on Maidan-e-Hashar. So why should I spoil anything of mine for anybody else? I have to stand alone in front of Allah Ta'ala. At that time, no mother is going to come to help me, no father is going to come to help me, no wife is going to come to my side, no friend is going to come to my side, nothing, nobody. It's only going to be me. I have to give jawab to Allah Ta'ala. Yes, my beloved Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will be there at every important place, wherever I need moral support, wherever I need encouragement, wherever I need his sifarish and his duas, he'll be there for me. So my life must conform with the Shariat and conform with the Sunnah. Everything else is by the way. Everything else is by the way. Understand? So don't allow anger to get us. Don't allow anger to get the better of us. Right? Azji, Masyullah Rahmatullah Ali, don't let anger come near you. Don't let anger come near you. And sometimes the anger, we take it out on the people who mean the most to us. They bear the brunt of the anger. Now, is it fair? Is it fair? The people that mean the most to us, who make the most khidmat of us, they bear the brunt of the anger. It's not fair at all. Did a father bring up his daughter to give to us, so we must unleash our anger on her? Didn't bring up her daughter for us to unleash our anger on her. Understand? So make our homes, you know, environments of deen. Maholes of deen. There must be happiness. Why there's fighting everywhere? Everywhere there's fighting, everywhere there's negativity, everywhere there's negative energies. The least we can do is sort out our home. Make the home a happy environment, a dini environment, an environment where talim of deen takes place. There is good akhlaq in that home. We can't sort out everything else, but at least that one home, let us try and sort that one home out. And then slowly from there it can build and it can grow. Understand? So, few things we discussed. One is this tongue. Be mindful of it. Don't just one way. And included in the tongue is the thumb. Today, a lot of talking is via the thumbs. I'm trying to think. You know, when we were younger, so they used to have telephone directories, you know. So they used to say, let your fingers do the walking. So let your fingers do the walking through the yellow pages. I don't know if you can remember the advert for yellow pages. Let your fingers do the walking through the yellow pages. So today the thumbs are doing the talking through the haram apps. The thumbs are doing. So included in this, when we talk about speech, included there is the thumbs, all this. This platform, that platform, where I'm talking here, talking there. And I mentioned this before, and I will mention it again, that by even those groups and those platforms where we think it's of a dini nature, that no, I'm getting, it's all dini discussion here. And I say this to the ulama also, that by you don't even need to be on every ulama chat too. It's become more a waste of time and a fitna. You know which alim you have rujhan towards. You listen to that alim. You need to know something, some masla you can find out. Why do you need to read everybody's story? Everybody's story, what's happening in the gam there, what's happening here, now those people having some squabble there, this one is doing something here. What you need all that for? You just pollute the brain for nothing and start having badgumani of people. So we must go through our phones and see what's necessary and unnecessary. Get rid of the unnecessary. So we discussed with regards to the tongue, ghaflat, that by closing the mouth and concentrating that Allah is watching me, Allah Ta'ala is listening to me, we get rid of the ghaflat. And then I explained to you that this is not maqsood to remain chup-chap, sun-san. You must be a cheerful person. You must be able to talk to who you need to talk to. As Imam Abdullah Magda Sahib, Naam Barakatuh also, he mentioned that now you don't go home and now you're sitting with the tasbih. Your wife wants to talk with you, now you're sitting with your tasbih there. No. You have to talk to her, you have to keep her cheerful, keep her happy. Then we spoke about this photography thing. Get rid of the photography. Stop taking these photos of animate objects, etc. And then we spoke about the signs of a hypocrite. It's the total opposite of how our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam is described. And the last thing we spoke about is this anger, which comes about due to pride. Our pride gets hurt, and then our anger comes out. To who you to tell me? Why you telling me? Get angry with the wife, get angry with the children, get angry with the staff, or whoever, anything. It's why I got angry. Because he irritated me. So who am I that I must get irritated? Who am I? I mustn't get irritated. I'm a nobody. I'm nothing. So why should I get irritated? My beginning is a haram drop of blood. My ending is a rotting corpse, and currently I am a container of impurities. That's my description. So what am I going to get irritated with people and haughty and all that? What for? No reason whatsoever. So we leave it till there. We'll read some Munajat. Is that Munajat?